Amen. Wasn't that said with my whole heart? I will agree. Amen. You know, that's saying a lot, isn't it? Praise God. But once you have discovered the joy of doing the will of God, it's really not hard to do that. Once you really believe that God knows what's best and does what's best, it's not hard to do that, is it? Amen. Praise the Lord. It's not in whether you really believe God knows what. And I believe it today. We're going to be studying today about the subject of the wise. Focus thought is this: the wisdom of hearing and of God gives one the ability to discern and judge what is right, true, and lasting. Our key verse comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter number 1 and verse number 5. As men will hear and will increase learning, and the man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. And our text today, if you want to follow in reading, beginning in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand the proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. And then Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7 said, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Amen. I think it's interesting how God designed the book of Proverbs, and those that divided the scripture as they did to make it easy to number them in there, they broke it into 31 chapters. If you want to be wise, it's wise to read the book of Proverbs. If you read one chapter a day, every month, you'll complete the book of Proverbs. And in 1 year, you could read the book of Proverbs 12 times. And you would learn a lot by doing that. That's a great practice. And that's a great way to get wisdom. And so today, our subject we want to talk about then is the voice of wisdom. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. I suppose in our generation, wisdom has never been needed more or sought less than it is today. Amen. People seem to be content to follow things that they know are going to lead the wrong direction. It's difficult to understand that, isn't it? But wisdom is, first of all, maybe if we could just discover what wisdom is. Wisdom is different than knowledge, isn't it? Knowledge is a wonderful thing. And these scriptures talk about getting knowledge. We need to have knowledge. Knowledge is a wonderful gift. But knowledge is different than wisdom. It's just simply is the how-to. Our author in the lesson here today said that knowledge is a hewer of wood, but wisdom is the architect. It knows what to do with the wood. So then, wisdom is knowing what to do with knowledge. It's one thing to have knowledge, but then to know what to do with it is wisdom. And knowledge then alone is not sufficient, is it? You need to know what to do with what you have. There is, of course, two kinds of wisdom. There is worldly wisdom and godly wisdom. So there is a system of wisdom that the world uses, and there's a system that God uses, and they're very different. They are not at all alike. And the world has a way of seeing things. God has a way of seeing things. The world has a way of doing things, and God has a way of doing things. And so they are. Each of them is different in the way that it accomplishes what it is sent to do. So let's talk a moment about then the wisdom of the world. The world has a system of doing things. It has a way of doing things. And in the world, it works, but always with the same result. You take an unscrupulous businessman. If he knows how, he can overtake other companies and put competition out of business and step on others to get ahead. And it works for a while, but it comes to a tragic end. It doesn't continue to work. It will not work in the long term. It will work only in the short term. And so it's like that. You know, a drug dealer can learn how to take over other territories, and it works for a time, but it always ends the same way. It always ends tragically. So the world has a system that it presents. And if we follow that, then we'll get what the world gets. It's very interesting that in the late 60s, early 70s, American culture decided to cast off biblical principles and pursue new things and new thoughts and new ways of doing things. And so cast off the old morality. And back in, anybody remember in the 70s, they talked a lot about the new morality, which was no morality at all. Amen. Just do what you want to do. Remember that saying they used to say a lot? If it feels good, do it. Remember that? Amen. And what did that get us? It got us where we are right now. Amen. America has a very serious drug problem. A serious, serious, serious drug problem. It's rampant in adults and in our young people, even in our children. It's a travesty. But that's what happened when we cast off the old morality. Sexual crimes are soaring through the roof because we cast off that old morality that had a staid system that sex should be confined to the bonds of marriage, and we cast that all off and said, just experiment, do what you want to do. And so we cast all that off, and we had our own morality and said, we know better. And because of that, we have what we have today. We have aborted since the passing of the law something like 56 million babies in the United States of America. And of course, venereal diseases are greater than they've ever been. We've seen AIDS raise its ugly head. Amen. All of these things are happening because we decided that we wanted a new morality. And that's the wisdom of the world. That's the wisdom. And you can follow that if you wish. And they'll tell you that. They'll tell you, don't you believe what the church says. Don't let anybody put those restrictions on you. You don't have to live with all of those laws and rules. Just go out and do what you want to do. Live life like you want to live life. And you can do that. You can do that. And if you follow worldly wisdom, you'll get what worldly wisdom brings you. All of the headaches and the heartaches. And they just say, well, this is life. Yes, but it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. There is a better way. There is a way that brings joy and peace and righteousness. Amen. And that's the way I want to pursue. How about you? Amen. Hallelujah. All right. And so worldly wisdom or human wisdom in God's sight, it's foolishness. And godly wisdom in human sight is foolishness. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, and the Corinthians were people that were, they were given, like the Grecians, to always seeking new things. The Bible said of them, they were ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. They always wanted the new, always wanted something different. And even if they received truth, cast that aside, because something new would come along. And we've got to be very careful that we don't buy into such a system as that. And the Bible said, buy the truth and sell it not. Once you lay hold on it, you get a grip on it with both of your hands and you hang on just as tight as you possibly can. The idea that of a crucified Messiah or Savior, to them it was kind of foolish. I mean, who ever heard of such an idea as that, right? I mean, all the heroes of their thinking were people that came and won a kingdom by might and force and overthrowing others and stamping out all the opposition. The fact that somebody would come and be crucified and give his life and die so that others could have life, that to them that was a foolish idea. It seemed that way. They could never understand that. And so Paul wrote to the Corinthians. He said, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. That is a quote, by the way, from Psalm 94 and 11. And so Paul said that God sees man's wisdom as foolishness. And of course, man sees God's way as foolish if he's not subject to God. But once you understand God, now some people, I've heard the statement all my life about how foolish people are. And, you know, people, a lot of times teenagers go through a time when their parents don't seem very smart, you know. They're just not with it, right? Parents, most of the time, just not with it. they don't know what you know as a teenager. When you're a teenager, about the time you get 13, you get crowned with omniscience, and you have all kinds of great answers for all the world's problems. And you just see, all you see is solutions to everything. And can't even understand. You know, you're just so different than your parents because they just don't seem to see it. Don't get it, do they? Amen. Somewhere then along about your mid-20s, all of a sudden, your parents start getting real smart again. When you've kind of tried those things out, amen. I'll always remember a meeting we had a few years ago. And Brother James Kilgore is one of the kindest, sweetest, greatest Christians I know. He was our superintendent. The brother stood up in the business meeting and we were discussing a problem. And he stood up and he said, brethren, he said, you can't figure this out. He said, and he just told us what to do. He said, bang, 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 bang. And when he got through, he said, problem solved. Brother Kilgore, a little sarcastically, said, thank you, Mr. Fix-It. The guy couldn't even see the problem, much less know the answer. I've learned that problems a lot of times have a lot more to it than just the surface that you see. And so that things are not always as simple as they appear. And sometimes they are, but a lot of times there's more to it. So wisdom is a great gift. Amen. And the Bible lists two kinds of wisdom. First of all, James chapter 3, verse 17 said, the wisdom from above is first, notice this, it's pure. Everybody say pure. It's peaceable. It's gentle. It's easy to be entreated. It's full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now that's godly wisdom. Isn't that beautiful? It's pure. It's peaceable. Brings peace. It's gentle. God's grace, God's wisdom is gentle. It's easy to be entreated. Don't want to hurt anybody. Amen. It's out to do good, not bad. It's full of mercy. God's wisdom is full of mercy. And it has good fruits in it. Amen. I hate bad fruit, don't you? Somebody said the only thing worse than finding a worm in an apple is finding half of a worm. That's bad. Isaiah. You know where that other half went. Without partiality. True wisdom, it's the same for everybody. Isn't that good? I said it's the same for everybody. It doesn't have favorites. The world, so much of the world system only works for a portion of the people. It only works for a certain few. But godly wisdom will work for everybody. And that's without hypocrisy. Amen. The world is full of hypocrisy. I think it's so interesting that one of the things the world says most about the church is how many hypocrites are in the church. Well, how about how many hypocrites are in the world? It's full of them too, you know. I'm not saying there's not hypocrites in the church. I'm sure there are. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we're not perfect folks, but we are trying. Amen. If you don't like us now, you sure wouldn't like us before. We're a lot worse than we are now, isn't that right? Amen. We've made some progress at least. Hey, give us a little credit. We're headed the right direction. We're trying. Amen. And so this is worldly wisdom, or godly wisdom, so very beautiful. Now, worldly wisdom, on the other hand, James said the wisdom of the world does not descend from above, first of all. And then he said it's sensual. That means it's limited to the senses. Your sight, sound, and sense of feel, and it's sensual. And then he said it's devilish. It's full of envy, full of strife, confusion, and every evil work. So the wisdom of the world then contrasts not well with the wisdom of God. Carnality, or carnal wisdom, is against God. The Bible says the carnal mind, or the human mind, the unconverted mind, is an enemy of God, for it cannot be subject to the law of God, neither indeed is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Amen. And so it's impossible until we're born again to have the mind of God, to think like God. Godliness doesn't make sense to worldly people. They can't see it. They can't understand it. But when you receive the Spirit of God, things change in your life, don't they? And you see things differently. And the Bible says that we have the mind of Christ, which I think is absolutely amazing. Amen. Hallelujah. That you can see life differently when you come to the Lord. Amen. And so the scripture says this. It said, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation. The word conversation here is more than your speech. It's really your whole way of life, your lifestyle. Let him show out of a good lifestyle his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but it's earthly, sensual, devilish. Where there envying and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. You know, God wants us to have peace. And to me, the greatest gift that I enjoy in the Holy Ghost is just peace. Amen. I like peace. I love peace. How about you? I don't like to be where there's a lot of strife, arguing, going on, carrying on, tearing one another down, can't trust anybody. I don't want to live like that. I don't live like that. Amen. I'm outnumbered in my house. I live with my wife and my daughter and two female dogs. I mean, I really got it. I'm totally outnumbered. But we have peace at our house. We established a long time ago that I'll get the last word when we have an argument. Yes, ma'am. That's it. That settles it right there. Amen. You just learn how to settle things. Amen. No, we really have peace in our life. And that's a beautiful thing. I like having peace. It's a wonderful way to live your life. And you can have peace. God brings peace into our lives and our hearts and our homes. And that's one of the great fruits of godly wisdom. Worldly wisdom's not like that. Amen. It has strife and envy. I look at the world right now, and it's not a pretty place to live, is it? There's a lot of envy in the world right now. Not of envy. Amen. People, everybody wants what everybody else has. My brother said it so wisely, I believe. He said, "Do you know how much more money everybody needs?" I said, "No." He said, "Just a little bit more. However much you got, you want more, right? If you've got this, you want that. And you get that, then you want that." And so worldly wisdom, it's always about getting something else. You know, if I just had such and such, I'd be happy. No, you wouldn't. If you're not happy with what you got, you won't be happy with what you get. Amen. It'll never, ever are you going to be satisfied with the stuff. There's not anything in this world that's going to make anybody happy. No matter how much you get. People that got it, they're not happy either. Amen. Isn't that right? It's tragic, isn't it? It's tragic. Amen. People that are extremely wealthy, it looks like they got all the stuff anybody could have. And yet they're addicted to drugs and alcohol and can't stay married to anybody. And would you marry somebody that the first thing they wanted you to do, sign a piece of paper saying, "If we don't make it, you can't have any of my money"? You know what that tells me? That tells me you don't love me very much. You love your money first. I'm not going to marry somebody that, good gracious, you're starting out on a false premise. I mean, right off the bat, you're already telling what you love. That's our world, isn't it? That's worldly wisdom. Amen. And it's just a travesty. It's so sad to see how the world and its worldly wisdom. But let's talk now about the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. We saw this in the last illustration, but James went on to say, after describing worldly wisdom, this is godly wisdom. It comes from above. He said it comes from above. Notice that. It comes from above. Amen. God's wisdom comes from above. It's higher than the wisdom of men. It's pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. God doesn't leave anybody out. Isn't that great? God's wisdom doesn't leave anybody. He includes everybody. And it's real. It's genuine. It's not a put-on. It don't have anything to cover up. Has nothing to hide. It's transparent. It's open. That's godly wisdom. It's so very, very beautiful. Do you know why the New Testament, we have after the book of Acts, we have all those epistles that are in there. The word epistle simply means a letter. So, beginning with the book of Romans, all the way to the book of Jude, we have these epistles or letters that are written. And do you know why those are in there? Many of those letters are written to correct problems that were in churches. Can you believe that the first century church had problems? Isn't that amazing? They actually, even though they were real close to the time of Jesus Christ and the apostles were some of the pastors of those churches, but they had problems. They had some serious problems. I mean, they had some of their problems are worse than some of our problems. But they did have some problems in the early church. And so those letters reveal and correct those problems that they had back then. So that's an interesting thing. The first church had a problem. As any time a church grows, there's going to be problems. There are going to be physical problems. You've got to decide, well, you know, we outgrow the facility, we got to build a new one, right? We've got to learn, got to have a place to park the cars. We got all kinds of things we have to do. You have to buy more cleaning supplies. You have to learn what to do with the kids. And you got problems when you grow. The early church had a problem because it started out strictly as a Jewish church. All the converts were Jewish. But it wasn't long before the Gentiles got in on it. And more Gentiles were coming into the church than Jews. Now, the Jews had a different culture and a different background than the Gentiles did. So when the Gentiles come into the church, did they have to become Jewish in culture in order to be saved? You see, this is something we have to look at too, isn't it? Especially if you're a missionary and you go to another country, does their culture have to become like your American culture in order for them to be saved? No. So the early church had to deal with this. They had to figure out, well, these Gentiles are coming in. They're real different than the Jews. Even the Jews had this wonderful Jewish heritage. And they had, actually, they had the law of God and had had for centuries and even millennia of time. And they had all the great patriarchs and the great prophets and the great kings in their lineage. And oh, they had so much. These poor Gentiles, and they came from worshiping rocks and rivers and air and all kinds of idols. That was what they came from. So it was a different background for everybody. So they had this meeting in Jerusalem. And some of the Jews were saying, these Gentiles, you know, they're not like us, but if they're gonna join the church, they gotta be like us. They gotta do what we do. And Paul and Silas and Barnabas, the missionaries, were saying, oh no, they don't. God saved them. God gave them the Holy Ghost just like he gave it to us. They don't have to be Jews to be saved. They don't have to be circumcised to be saved. That's Jewish law. So they were having this heated argument. And God spoke to the pastor of the church, James, and he gave him a word of wisdom. Everybody say a word of wisdom. You know, a word of wisdom is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that God gave to the church. It's not worldly wisdom. It's when God gives you a word. Now, you don't go around speaking the word of wisdom. It's God entering into a situation and giving you an answer that is apt and needed at a particular time. Same thing with knowledge. God can give you a word of knowledge that you wouldn't have any way of knowing if the Lord didn't speak that to you. So God gave James the word of wisdom, and he gave it to the church, and he resolved the conflict. And what he gave was acceptable to all. Isn't that beautiful? That fits with James chapter 3:17, doesn't it? See, wisdom is pure and peaceable and gentle and easy to be entreated and full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. So the word that James gave was in that spirit, and it was acceptable to the Gentiles, and it was acceptable to the Jews. And so the conflict then was resolved peaceably, and the church was not hindered, but revival continued among the Jews and Gentiles alike. Amen. That's a word of wisdom. Praise God. We need wisdom in the church today, just like they needed wisdom in the church then. So that's wisdom that is from above. The wisdom of God provides... Let me go back somehow. Skipped over that. Just did, didn't it? Anyway, this thing's always interesting. It keeps me on my toes. We just don't get along sometimes. Amen. But it proves to be wiser than man. God's wisdom is wiser than men. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, he said, the foolishness of God is wiser than men. The weakness of God is stronger than men. So he just, of course, there is no foolishness in God. We know that. Neither is there weakness in God. He's just using a parallel. He's just saying, if God had weakness and he does not, if God had foolishness and he does not, but if he did, it would be greater than the wisdom of man and his weakness would be stronger than the strength of men. In other words, God by comparison is so far superior that we can't even begin to understand. Amen. I love that verse in Isaiah when the Lord talks about that his ways are not our ways. You need to remind yourself of that real often. When you come against something you don't understand in life, you need to see to stop right there and say, God, your way is not my way. Your ways are as high above my ways, are the heavens above the earth, and your knowledge and your wisdom are above my knowledge and wisdom, as high as the heavens are above the earth. I'm not in your class. You're the creator. I'm just a little old creature. Amen. I'll trust you. I'll follow you. I'll believe in you. I'll give to your judgment. Whatever you say is best, I'm going to follow that. I'm not going to try to figure you out. I'm not going to waste my time. Amen. When you learn to do that, it really lends to peace. When you try to figure God out, you've got a full-time job on your hands. And I'm going to tell you right now, you're just going to blow a fuse. That's all you're going to do. You're going to blow a fuse because you're not going to figure him out. Amen. Praise the Lord. Paul said to the Corinthian church, he said, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. In other words, they couldn't understand. The Jews couldn't understand a crucified Savior. The Gentiles couldn't understand a crucified conqueror. They just couldn't understand that. Amen. But we understand that today, don't we? I understand that the whole reason for the crucifixion was God was manifest in the flesh. God demanded a blood sacrifice for the remission of sins, and God being a spirit had no blood or any flesh. And so God took upon himself the human form of a man. God became like us. And he sacrificed that human body and he gave that blood so he could redeem me from my sin. And God became like me so that he could make me to become like him. Hallelujah. Now I don't know that I'll ever understand all of that, but it makes me know that my God loved me that much. Amen. And he came down to my level so that he could lift me up to his level. Amen. And I may not understand all of it, but I sure do appreciate it. And I'm just going to enjoy it. I don't understand a lot of things. I don't understand electricity, do you? I believe in it, though. And I can convince you real quick. You get a hold of a little of it, you'll believe. Even if you can't, I've heard people say that. I only believe what I can see. Well, let me show you something you can't see that you'll believe in. A lot of things. Amen. I don't know how that picture's up there, do you? I don't understand that. I really don't. I don't understand that. I don't understand how you can turn on the radio and out of the air, all of a sudden these men's voices come in from hundreds of miles away. I don't understand that. I don't understand how you can turn on the box and the picture comes. I don't understand. A lot of things I don't understand. Lots of things. Amen. I sure don't understand God. But I certainly believe in him. Amen. Praise the Lord. He sure has been good to me. And I don't have to understand him to enjoy him and to follow after him. Paul said this. He said, for you see your calling, brethren. How, everybody say, not many. How that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. So Paul said there's not a whole lot of, and I've heard people say that, you know, the apostolic church must really not be the church because there's a lot more other kinds of people in other churches. You must be wrong because the majority is always right. You ever heard of that one? The majority is always right. Talk to Noah about that and the people his day. Amen. That's what, the way I understand the story, the minority was saved, which were eight people. And the majority drowned because they didn't believe the promise of God. So this majority thing has nothing to do with it. The gospel is for whosoever will. It's just that a whole lot of them don't will. They don't want to. Amen. Praise God. But when you get ready, God's got the door wide open for us for now. So he said there's not many. Amen. Not many wise. Not many noble. Not many mighty. Some, just not many. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so he said God has chosen. God hath chosen the foolish things of the world. He found the wise. And he does that. It shouldn't work, should it? But it does. I like that scripture where it talks about Peter and John when they were standing before the council. And the Bible says that they were ignorant and unlearned fishermen. Everybody say ignorant. Ignorant. Amen. That's what we say. Ignorant. And unlearned. Amen. But here's what it says. But they perceived that they had been with Jesus. Hallelujah. When you get with Jesus, ignorant or not, it's going to change your life. Uneducated or not, it's going to change your life. And a little later they said, they that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. Amen. Ignorant and unlearned. I'm tell you what, here we are 2,000 years later, still preaching the same gospel. People still getting the Holy Ghost, being baptized in Jesus' name, and the Spirit and the power of God still doing wonders in the world. Amen. There are more Christians alive today than there's ever been in history. You talk about a wonder. The Church of God is a wonder. It's a miracle. Amen. And there's nothing like it in all of the world. It shouldn't exist, but it does. And you know what? It's going to get better than this. Amen. My, my, my. Brother Mike Williams, Friday night. He preached an awesome message. Amen. He said, it's time. You remember that, Brother Warren? That's good stuff, wasn't it? Amen. Remember that, Brother Gibbs? Amen. He preached and he first of all, he laid it all out how bad things are, how terrible things are. Amen. And gave a whole bunch of statistics. And when he got through, he said, but it's time. Hallelujah. Do you know when Jesus came to this world, do you know how many Christians there were? None. Then there was one, him. And then there were 12. And there were 3,120. And there were 8,120. And then people were getting saved every day. And then the world was turned upside down. We don't know how many. Amen. Praise God. Don't limit God. Don't put him in a box. Don't paint him in a corner. Amen. Don't tell me that, well, you know, people just don't want to be saved anymore. People need to be saved now worse than they ever have. Brother Carlton Coon years ago, he said, Crawford Coon, he said, you just can't find good, clean sinners anymore. And when you can't, that's when God shows up. Amen. You talk about a contrast. The darker the night, the brighter the light. Amen. And so this is a good thing. Praise the Lord. God's getting ready to do great things, isn't he? I want to be a part of that. How about you? Amen. Wisdom must be sought. Must be sought. You don't just stumble upon it. You seek it. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5 through verse 8 said, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Wherefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee, and she shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. So wisdom is a great thing to have in life. Amen. It's essential. And God wants us to have wisdom. Amen. Seek wisdom, the Bible said. And if we seek, we'll find. But listen, for the Lord, everybody say the Lord. Isn't this interesting? The Lord giveth wisdom. So, if you have the Lord, you have the source of wisdom. It still doesn't come automatic. You have to seek it. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So God is then the source of wisdom. Amen. And if you're privileged to grow up around wise people, that's a great gift in itself. But it does not automatically guarantee that you'll have wisdom. God gives freely to those who ask and seek for it. Amen. So if we ask wisdom and we seek that, then we're going to find that. Amen. To be enrolled in the school of wisdom is a great thing. As I said before, a lot of wisdom you get just by reading the Word of God and applying the Word of God. This is one of the greatest things you can do to bring wisdom into your life. Amen. It's to read the Word of God and apply the Word of God. Amen. Now, James talked about a guy that, he went and looked at himself in the mirror and then saw what there was and then just walked off and did nothing about it. So if you've got, egg in one corner of your mouth and jelly on the other side, and you got a little stuff here, and you just say, well, I'm all right, and walk off. Didn't do any good to look in the mirror, did it? Amen. You got to correct the things that are wrong. That's what it's all about. So wisdom's like that. If you read the Word of God and don't apply it, you stay the same. You have the same problems. We can avoid a lot of our problems. I read about a guy one time. This is many years ago, and he was trying to serve God, but he kept falling off the wagon. He'd had a problem with drink, and he'd do good for a while, and then he'd hit the bar, and then he'd try to get right again, and he's just having a problem. And so somebody asked him, he said, well, tell me, when you go to town, what do you do? He said, I just go to town and walk, drove up to the hitching post, and hitch my horse. And he said, well, where do you hitch your horse? He said, well, the same place I always have. He said, where's that? He said, in front of the Longhorn Bar. There's your problem. Wisdom, he just changed where he hitched his horse, and he didn't have the problem anymore. Sometimes, if you do what you've always done, you'll get what you've always got. Wisdom says you got to change something. Is that right? Amen. If you holler and scream at your mate, and your mate hollers and screams at you, and you don't want to holler and scream, quit hollering and screaming. Woo, Brother Grissom, that's deep stuff there, man. Wow, that's deep. Amen. If you want peace in your home, just be peaceful. Learn how to talk in a calm voice. Amen. I know that didn't apply to anybody, but it just came from above. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so you just apply wisdom in your home. It's amazing what you can avoid. Amazing what you can avoid. Amen. So wisdom is a gift of God, and if we seek it, the Bible says, we find it. But we gotta seek after wisdom. Amen. The Bible says that God, James chapter 1 and 5, said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Everybody say, ask. There's a novel idea. Ask God for wisdom. That giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. So if you ask God for wisdom sincerely and seek after wisdom, he will give you wisdom. God wants us to be wise. God wants us to be wise. Amen. But when you find wisdom, you have to follow after wisdom. All right. Wisdom is the right voice. Find wisdom through studying and by obeying the word of the Lord. Amen. Okay, first of all, let's talk about godly teachers. Godly teachers. Amen. And then God's word. And then the voice of the Lord. All of these things are important. The voice of teachers must not be ignored. Everything that you know, Brother Fry, what was that? Everything you know, you had to learn. That's what he taught us a couple of weeks ago over in Canton. Amen. Everything you know, you had to learn. And that's true. You know your tutums. You learned your tutums, and when you're in school, you know, tutums 2 is 4, and tutums 3 is 6. Your tutums, you know. You learned your tutums, right? Amen. And so you learn those things. It's isn't it boring? Remember how boring that was? Boring, but you learn. Now you can do it. And so wisdom you get from teachers. Somebody teaches you. You get a lot from teachers. Amen. It starts out with your parents and your elders. Parents and elders. Now here's some wisdom for you. If there was something that was not right in your home, you don't have to do that in your home. That's deep, wasn't it? Amen. You know, if your parents hollered and screamed at you and you didn't like it, guess what? Your kids are not going to like it when you holler and scream at them. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean there don't mean to do discipline. Discipline, the lack of discipline is really abuse. If you don't correct your children, somewhere down the line, the state will have to do it for you. And if you don't correct your children, that's a form of abuse in itself. But you have to do it in the right way. And wisdom will teach you how to do that. And so, though you have godly parents and godly teachers, but if they did something wrong, then you don't repeat that. You do it a different way. Right? If your parents, when they corrected you, they corrected you too harshly, and they left bruises and marks and scars, don't you do that to your child. You see, wisdom is learning. It's not only learning from others, but it's learning from others' mistakes as well. So sometimes we learn how not to do something, right? Dad was teaching his little boy to ride a bicycle, and it'd been a long time since he rode a bicycle. So he was riding the bicycle, and he finally got it going, wobbling down the road, and then he forgot how to stop, and he ran into a telephone pole. Amen, fell over, and told his son, now that's how you don't ride a bicycle. That's how you don't do it. So sometimes you teach people how you don't do something. And so wisdom's like that, but you learn from elders. You learn the good things, you learn from them, and how not to do some things. You learn from others. And then there are teachers that God's given us in church. Isn't that right? That's what we're doing up here today. Ephesians chapter 4 said, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So God put teachers in the church to help us with godly principles. Amen. And so that's what we're trying to do up here today. Amen. I guess I went a little too far. The voice of God's word must not be ignored. Amen. First of all, the Bible said it's quick and powerful. Is that right? For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even asunder the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. So the word of God, it's alive. Powerful. Thank God for his word. The Bible said it's a shield. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. The word of God is not bound, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Amen. And the word of God, it gives us a place to abide or a place to live. It gives us strength in our life. So the word of God is always the right voice. And then the voice of the Lord is not to be ignored. Do you think God still speaks to people today? Has he ever spoken to you? Amen. I believe God speaks to people. I believe he does. I've had that experience in my life. And when I've listened, it was a good thing. And when I didn't listen, it was a bad thing. And God has actually spared my life a few times by listening to. Sometimes I was a little hard-headed. I remember one time in Columbia, I was invited to go to a youth camp in a certain region of the country, and I really wanted to go. I'd never been to that area, and I really, really wanted to go. So I said, yeah, I'll come. And some of the pastors said, brother, you don't really need to go there. There's a lot of trouble in that area of the country. And in Columbia, they had guerrillas, and I'm not talking about the big hairy kind. I'm talking kind of with guns and rebels, in other words. And so they said they control that area. You don't really need to go there. Well, I knew God would take care of me, right? Sometimes God don't want to take care of you. He just wants to give you good sense not to go. So I tried to go. I couldn't go. I couldn't get into the area. So finally, I listened to wisdom, and I said, okay, I'm not going. Can't go. And the very day that I would have arrived, the guerrillas or the rebels took over that area of the country. They closed the bus stations, the airports, the train stations. They closed everything. They closed the banks. They closed businesses. There was no way in. There was no way out. If I had been there, I would have been right in the middle of that, and very likely would have either been kidnapped or killed. God only knows what would have happened. But see, that's wisdom speaking. It took me a little while to get the message, but I thank God that I did get the message, and I didn't override that. Sometimes if you override the will of God, then you will get yourself in trouble. So don't ignore the voice of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so there are certain things we just don't do. Wisdom tells us certain things that we should know. Again, there are places that you shouldn't go. Wisdom tells you not to go there. There are certain things you shouldn't do. Wisdom tells you you shouldn't do certain things. And so when you listen to the voice of the Lord, it will lead you and it will guide you. God's voice does convict us. It tells us what's right and what's wrong. That's beautiful, isn't it? Amen. I think it's great when God just speaks to people. Amen. There was a precious lady converted in the church I used to pastor. And she just came in one Sunday night, she and her daughter. First time I'd ever been to Pentecostal church, man, they hit the altar, they got the Holy Ghost. Just amazing. Beautiful. And she was so excited about living for God. And I went up to the church one day, and nobody said anything to her, but she was out there mowing the lawn. And I thought, my goodness, she really got converted. Amen. Nobody even said anything about doing it. She's just out there mowing. And I saw her, and I greeted her. Praise the Lord, sister. And she was not dressed like a Pentecostal. She had on some shorts, and she had on, attire that was not real godly. I didn't say anything. She's brand new. I mean, she's got the Holy Ghost Sunday night. And so I went on in, and a little while she came in, and she sat down, and she started, what's wrong, Pastor? I said, what do you mean? She started crying. She said, I don't know. Something's wrong. Said, what do you mean? Something's wrong. She said, I don't feel right. She said, I don't feel like I'm dressed right. I didn't say anything about the way she was dressed. Didn't say a word. But the Holy Ghost did. And he started talking. See, that's the voice of the Lord. God talks to people. If you say something wrong, God will tell you said something wrong. Isn't that right? Have you ever said something to one of your brothers and sisters and the Holy Ghost instantly convicted you and he said, you need to go make that right? And we see the voice of the Lord, it'll lead us. And that's wisdom, isn't it? It's wisdom. It helps us. It tells us what not to do. Amen. The Holy Ghost will keep you out of a lot of trouble if you'll listen to it. It'll keep you out of a lot of trouble. It'll keep you saved. If you'll just listen to it. Amen. So thank God for the voice of wisdom. Let's learn to hear it. And let's learn to listen to it. It'll tell us great things. You can be used greatly of God when you learn how to just listen to the voice of the Lord. Would you stand with me today? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. He's good, isn't he? Anybody here thankful for the voice of the Lord today? The very first time you heard the voice of God is when he called you to repentance. Amen. He reached out and he began to draw you with his conviction, with his love. Amen. And you felt that compassion and that mercy as God began to deal with your heart and draw you to him. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us today. I'm so glad that you care enough that you still speak to us in this 2012. You're still speaking today to your church and to your world. Help us, O God, to be very sensitive to the voice of the Lord. And help us, O God, to be readily available and obedient to the voice of God so that we can both be saved and do service for the Lord that we love. We give you thanks, honor, and praise. The name that's above all names, the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Are you ready to worship today? Praise God. Let's worship Him. He's worthy. Praise God in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank God for the blood.
Thank God.
Hey.
God, for the privilege to be able to lift up your name and thank you most of all for that blood. Amen.
Thank you,
praise
Jesus.
God. Y'all may be seated for a short time. I'm going to tell you, I'm thankful for every one of you that are here. I can almost project my voice loud enough for you to hear me. I'm having a little trouble with my voice this morning, but that's all right. I'm covered in the blood of Jesus. I'm thankful. I want you to know that I'm thankful for this old-fashioned book. You know, we have these books out there dispersed among the congregation. So whenever we sing a congregational song, we'll give you the number. If we don't always get it up there, and we're trying, but it doesn't always work like we want it to. Well, we had a little trouble this morning. We had a little trouble earlier, so that's all right. But I guess if I'd just give you the page number, it would have worked all right, wouldn't it? All right? We'll try to remember to do that. We want to welcome every one of you here into the house of the Lord. We'll see if there's any new people. Oh, brother and sister Hudson, we're so glad y'all are here today. We really appreciate you coming and being with us. That's Sister Melissa's mom and dad. I'm so glad y'all are here. You know, I'm thankful for Brother Jared and Sister Melissa. They're really an asset here to us all. I'm thankful so much for the smiling faces I see down front every Sunday morning, right here. Y'all, I'll tell you what, this youth group is something. They keep me moving. You know, it's hard to get up in the morning and say it had a bunch of young people. Now, I'm tell you what, you just can't move that well. These folks here get up ahead of you. They're praising God way ahead of you. And I'm telling you what, they keep you excited. It helps me to stay excited, to see them excited. Doesn't it make you happy to see them excited? Come on. Woo. I'm telling you what, they're not just the future leaders of our church. They do a lot of leading right now. These young people are a special asset to us, and I thank God for them. I thank the Lord for each and every person that's here today. Praise God. Let's sing a song. Well, whatever.
Page 207.
We just did that.
174, I'm sorry, it's 174.
Oh, 174.
Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our trouble.
To get tired and go to sleep, will it? You won't get the chance to get sleepy because you're getting up and you're getting down. And you're getting up and you're getting. But you know what? I got a chance yesterday to talk to somebody. I ran into a fella from Baltimore, Maryland. Terrible place. No, really, really. It is. In Baltimore, Maryland, they got rats as big as dogs. They do. I mean, they got some. I've been there. I know they got some big rats. They're ugly. First time I saw a nutria. Y'all know what a nutria is. Woo, Lord, help us, Jesus. It's going to be rough. A nutria is something that looks like a big old ugly rat, but it isn't. It's a nutria. But Baltimore has rats that are bigger than nutrias. First time I saw a nutria in Texas, I thought somebody had imported some Baltimore rats. Because, I mean, there's some big, big rats in Baltimore. Well, anyway, I don't know how we got there, but I got to talk to this fella from Baltimore yesterday. He had never heard the gospel of Jesus. He had no idea who the Apostle Paul was. Didn't know anything about Peter. He had heard that there was a God. We didn't know who he was. And do you know, it broke my heart to know that we can reach people all over the world. We've been in the Amazon. We can reach people in jungles that, man, just places where animals can't go. We can reach people out there, but we can't reach people in our home backyard. It broke my heart yesterday talking to this man. I got to talk to him for quite a while. And you know, it's something that we've all got to do. It says, go and tell all the world. Tell everybody. To go into all the world. It meant, go into your backyard too. Talk to your neighbor across the fence. They may never have heard. This boy's parents had never. He said, no, I've never been to church in my life. He's a young man, he was about 24, 25 years old. Never been to church in his life. Not even a Sunday school. Come on now. Everybody been to Sunday school somewhere, had they? No, not really. We have a ministry to do. We've got to touch all the world. We've got to go out.